Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Welcome back to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and on yesterday's broadcast, we heard part one of a powerful conversation featuring our own Dr. James Dobson and his dear friend, Pastor Greg Laurie. Now, this was recorded back in 2017, but this conversation is probably more germane today than it's ever been. Pastor Greg Laurie is an author and the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship, with church locations in Irvine and Riverside, California. Greg is also known for his large public evangelistic events called the Harvest Crusades. In fact, just a couple of weekends ago, they held their annual Anaheim SoCal Harvest that takes place at Angel Stadium in beautiful Orange County. Over 8,600 people chose to give their lives to Christ back on November 4th and 5th because of the Harvest event. Over those two nights, Greg and his team hosted more than 76,000 people, young and old, married, single, believers and unbelievers. Everyone was welcome to attend in person, and hundreds of thousands more watched online. Now, you might feel like it's easier for others to share their faith, but maybe not so much for you. However, Pastor Greg's stories in part two of today's conversation will surprise you. He's sharing stories from his life to encourage every believer. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, you may want to check out Greg Laurie's book called Tell Someone You Can Share the Good News. Okay, let's jump right back into that inspiring conversation right now on today's edition of Family Talk.
I'd just like to say something personally that, you know, when our son went to be with the Lord in 2008, one of the first phone calls I received was from you. Your son, Ryan, was good friends with my son, Christopher, and you spent about an hour on the phone with me. And to hear that voice that brings comfort to so many on the radio on my phone, and you were so compassionate and shared a lot of great things with us, and it just helped me so much. So thank you for all that you do, and it's my honor to help in any way that I can.
Greg, let's revisit that time in your life. We've talked about it before, but we're talking to people right now who have been through struggles like that, who have lost a child, and I hear about it all the time. Yes. And I'd like to know how the Lord helped get you through that. Your son was killed on a freeway in Southern California.
Yes.
And his name's Christopher.
That's correct.
You were in, well, obviously, great pain when I talked to you. How'd you get from there to here? Did you ever blame God? Did you ever go through a time where you said, you could have stopped this. You could have put him on another freeway. Yeah. What were the thought processes?
Yeah. I never blamed God, but I questioned why. Why would this happen? And what good is it? You know, he was so young. He was 33. His life was ahead of him, newly married with a beautiful little baby girl, Stella, our first granddaughter, and one on the way, little Lucy. And he was serving the Lord. He had been a prodigal for a number of years, Dr. Dobson, and had come back to Christ and was doing the graphic design at our church. It was almost like everything I'd hoped for was happening. You know, my son was walking with the Lord. We were serving together, and suddenly he's gone. It made no sense. But I never blamed God, and I wasn't angry at God, but I did ask God why. But, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God why.
You just never get an answer.
You just never get an answer. I mean, even Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But no, there is no answer. And even if God gave us one, let's just say for the sake of a point, the Lord said, all right, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to tell you why I did it. We wouldn't be happy with the answer. So I think you have to move away from the why question and move to the what question.
And as everybody has the why question.
Of course.
Sooner or later, you'll hit a wall.
Yeah.
Things will not make sense to you.
Right.
I wrote a book on that.
Yes,
and,
you did.
The book of Job is really interesting in this regard, because Job wrote the most eloquent question, his most eloquent statement of the why question that I think anybody's ever written. You just read it and it's amazing what he has to say. And when he gets all finished, the Lord says, who are you to ask me that question?
Right.
Were you there when I created the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I made the streams and the mountains? Yep. And, you know, who are you to ask me that question?
Exactly.
He wants us to believe even when we can't make the pieces fit.
That's it. And I had a Job-like moment. You know, my home quickly filled with well-wishers who, quite frankly, some of them weren't helpful at all. I could almost write a whole book on what not to say to someone who has just lost a loved one, because I heard it all myself. And so I went up to my office, which was above my garage, and I just fell on the floor and I just said, God, you've got to help me right now, because if you don't come through for me, I don't know how I'm going to make this. Although I'd been a pastor for years and had comforted and helped other people who had lost children, when it happens to you, it's just so life altering. And I said, Lord, you gave him to me and I give him back to you. And that's what Job said to God. After all those calamities came upon him, he said, naked came I into this world, naked go I out. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Though and, you slay me, yet will I serve you.
That's correct. And God was there. You know, someone asked me a while back, what was the most spiritual moment of your life when you sensed God's presence more than any other? I had to think about that for a bit. Was it preaching in a crusade? Was it when I first came to Christ and prayed that prayer? And I thought and I realized, I think the most spiritual moment of my life was after my son died. And Dr. Dobson, God was there for me. And he gave me the grace I needed in that moment. And it wasn't like grace to get through the next week or the next day. It was grace to get through the next hour, because it's so devastating. You're just hanging on to God for dear life because of the pain. I felt as though, I felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. It was hard for me to breathe. I felt this pressure for weeks, a physical pressure.
Yeah, you have a great marriage, and Kathy, and how did you all relate to each other? Do you ever blame each other? How'd you get through that as a marriage?
Yeah, you know, Dr. Dobson, a lot of marriages don't make it when a child dies. Actually, the statistics bear this out. And you can almost see why, because those things happen. Kathy never blamed me. I never blamed Kathy. I blamed myself. I didn't blame anybody else. And then really, there was nothing to blame myself for. I said, well, I should have never hired him to work at the church. If I hadn't hired him, this wouldn't have happened. Well, that becomes futile after a time. I said earlier,
that's a dead end street.
Yeah, you have to move from the why question to the what, as in, what am I supposed to do? And I realized I need to give God glory, and I need to learn whatever I can learn from this. And God's given me a platform so I can help other people who are going through this. And if I say nothing else, I can say this. Maybe Dr. Dobson, someone right now listening, just lost a loved one, maybe a child. And I would say this, you can survive this, but you need to hang on to Jesus. You don't need a manual, you need Emmanuel. You need God. It's Jesus. So you hold on to him tightly. You go to God's word. You need scripture to sustain you. And you need to trust God through this. But, you know, my wife, right after it happened, I when I heard the news, I literally collapsed on the floor. I couldn't stand. And I just, my wife could see how hard it was. And she just grabbed my face in her hands. And she just said, Greg, it's going to be okay. And just somehow that helped me. I mean, I thought I was going to die on the spot. It was so devastating. It's going to be okay. And so, you know, there
can
would be
can you imagine we're talking to people who right now are right where you were then.
Yes.
And they're hurting so badly.
Yeah.
Give them the best comfort you can give them.
Jesus is with you right now. And you need to call out to him. You need to hang on to him. And you need to remember a couple of things. Let me say this, if you're a Christian, you need to remember that God loves you and that God is in control of your life and in the circumstances that surround your life. We don't know why this happened to you, but we know he causes ultimately all things to work together for good to those that love him. So what you need to do is hang on to the Lord right now and trust him. And he's going to give you the strength to get through this. And listen, if your child, your loved one, your husband, your wife, whoever it is you're grieving, if they believed in Jesus, they are not just a part of your past, they're also a part of your future. You will see them again. Mm-hmm. So until that day, you need to put God first, honor him, open up the word of God, read scripture. Scripture to me, Dr. Dobson, was a huge lifeline. that just lifted me up as I would get an eternal perspective. You know, I read your book during this time, When God Doesn't Make Sense. Yeah. And it was a very helpful book to me. And, you know, and I wrote a book about this and the aftermath of my son going to be with the Lord called Hope for Hurting Hearts. So I read books that people had written. I read scripture. I prayed. And you know what? I reached out to people. I have the privilege of knowing someone like you. So I reached out to you, Dr. Dobson. I reached out to other pastor friends of mine. And I would say, if you've heard this news, you know, go to your church, go to your pastor. And listen, if this happened to you and you're not a Christian, this should be the moment where you come to Christ and put your faith in Christ and begin to follow him. And the Bible says he's the God of all comfort. And it says also that Jesus speaking, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus can give you the help that you need.
Greg, with our remaining time today, I'd really like to use this opportunity to introduce people to Christ who don't know him. Yeah, you know, you just can never underestimate how many people are listening to radio like this.
Yes.
And just driving down the freeway and happened to spin the dial and came up on you. You've written a book called Tell Someone. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell someone. Mm-hmm. Because let's assume we're heard by people who don't really know what we mean when we say you can have a personal relationship with Christ. What are you going to say to them?
Well, Dr. Dobson, I'm going to say, you know, you've tuned into this program for a reason. Maybe you're eavesdropping on the conversations of Christians, thinking we're all collectively crazy. Mm-hmm. I used to think the same thing, and that is actually how I became a believer. There was a high school Bible study on my campus, and these Christians would sit in a circle, sing some songs, and then someone would talk about God. So one day, out of sheer curiosity, I sat down close enough to eavesdrop on their conversation, but not so close that someone would think I was joining them. And as I listened and I looked around at the Christians, I thought, these people are crazy. There's no way this could be true. But then I tried a new thought on for size. And the thought was, what if they're right? What if God is real? What if Christ can be known? I quickly dismissed it. It's impossible. Then I again thought, but what if it is true? And I looked at these Christians and I thought, their lives have changed because I knew some of them before. And then the guy who was speaking, I don't remember most of what he said, but I remember one statement. He said, Jesus said, you're for me or against me. And I looked around at the Christians and I thought, well, they're clearly for him. And I'm not one of them. Does that mean I'm against Jesus? I mean, I always believed Jesus existed. I'd seen all of his movies, but I never knew he could be known in a personal way. And I didn't want to be against him. And so that was the day I prayed and asked Christ to come into my life. Now, listen, he can come into your life right now. Now, what do we mean by that? Here's the problem. Every one of us have sinned and broken God's commandments. You say, well, I'm not as bad as some people. True, but God doesn't grade on the curve. One sin is enough to keep you out of heaven. We've all sinned. This is a no-brainer. Everyone sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But then Jesus Christ, who was fully God, came to this earth on a rescue mission. You know, he breathed our air. He lived our life. He walked in our shoes, then he died our death, and he rose again from the dead. You see, he died on the cross to take God's judgment that should have come upon you, and he took it upon himself. He came to pay a debt he did not owe because, well, we owed a debt we could not pay. And then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And that same Jesus who lived and died and rose is right here with you. Wherever you are, driving your car, listening at home, wherever you are, he's knocking at the door of your life, and he is saying, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So what I needed to do as a young kid on my high school campus was ask him to come into my life. And what you need to do is say, all right, Jesus, I don't understand everything about you, but I want you in my life. And why would you want him in your life? Because he'll forgive you of your sins, and because he will give you the guaranteed assurance that when you die, you will go to heaven. He'll give you the meaning and purpose in life you've been looking for up to this point.
What is sin? We talk about
excellent
sin,
question.
This concept, yeah.
Well, sin
you talk about it in your book, Tell Someone.
Sin is defined a number of ways in the Bible. One definition of sin means to miss the mark. And it's based on the idea of an archery game they would play. You would be given 10 arrows, and the objective was to hit the mark with all 10 arrows. God has set a mark for humanity, which is absolute perfection. Jesus said, be perfect as I'm perfect. Well, who's perfect?
Yeah, nobody can
nobody.
Be perfect.
So that's where Jesus comes in, because I've sinned, I've fallen short. But then to sin also means to cross a line. The Bible talks about trespasses and sins. So you've seen the sign maybe in a city park where the grass has been planted, no trespassing. When you break a commandment, like you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain, you break one of those 10 commandments, you cross the line. So every one of us have crossed the line. Every one of us falls short of the standard.
Oh, the definition that I like, it's that sin is the willful transgression of a known law.
In other words,
when Jesus was on the cross, he looked down at the men who did this dastardly thing, the worst murder in history, and he said, Father, forgive them. Why?
Yeah.
Because they know not what they do.
Yes.
It's when you know. When Ryan, my son, was 2 years of age, I could tell him something. He could do the opposite. If he didn't understand what it was I was asking of him, he's certainly not going to ever even know that he displeased me.
Yeah.
But it's when that little rascal would clench his teeth and look at you and say, I will not. No.
Yeah.
It's a willful transgression of a known law.
Yeah.
I like that definition because I'm responsible for what I understand and what I know.
That's right.
And he will make it possible for me to live without that. Yeah. We won't live perfectly because only Jesus can give you that perfection that he demands of
us. And it's Christ living in us, and that's really what being a Christian is. It's not just believing a man named Jesus lived historically. It's having Christ himself come and live inside of you and give you the strength to be the man or the woman he's called you to be. So really, how does one ask Christ to come into your life? The Bible says, for as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. So Dr. Dobson, if I were going to give you a book, I'm holding this book, Tell Someone, and I said, I want to give you this book, you would reach out and accept it and say, well, thank you. And that the same is true of God. It's a gift. He says, I want to give to you the gift of eternal life. I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to come and live in your life. And I need to say, okay, thank you, come in. And that is as simple as praying a prayer and asking Christ to come into your life. And right now, I believe if someone will pray this prayer, a simple prayer, I could even lead them in if you would like me to, that Christ will come and live inside of them, because the Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
I wish you would do that.
Okay. So listen, wherever you are, if you want Jesus to come into your life, if you want him to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, I want you to pray this prayer after me. In fact, you could even pray it out loud. It's a simple prayer. Just pray this with me now. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior. And I'm sorry for my sin. And I turn from that sin. And I choose to follow Jesus from this moment forward. Jesus, come into my life as my Lord, as my Savior, as my God, and as my friend. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And he's promised to answer that prayer and provide for you what you're asking.
Yes.
Now what? What happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day when you've given your heart to the Lord?
Well, the Bible says if we will confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you just prayed that prayer, God has heard it and God has answered it. And I want to just say welcome to God's family. Mm-hmm. Now you need to go find out where the family gets together. And they get together every Sunday in church. You need to become a part of a church where the Bible is taught, a church where Jesus is honored. So get involved in a church. You need to get your hands on a Bible. And I would highly recommend you start with the Gospel of John, because it was written that you might believe these things.
So about it really ought to be a Bible-believing
church.
Yes,
very much so.
One that preaches and teaches the Bible, because that's the foundation.
That's it. and then start reading the Bible for yourself. And this book is going to come alive to you in a way that it never has. So start reading the Bible and then start praying. You know, Dr. Dobson, prayer is just talking to God. We just did that in our prayer a few moments ago. Just the Lord knows all the latest words. You don't have to worry about speaking in King James English. Just pour out your heart to God. Be honest with God and communicate with God. Reading the Bible, prayer, being actively involved in a church are three essentials for growing spiritually.
Now, what happens in the afterlife?
Well, what happens in the afterlife is if you're a Christian, you go immediately to heaven. And then you're there reunited with loved ones who have died in faith, who have preceded you. And then one day the Bible promises that God will give us a new glorified body that is similar to the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one day heaven will come to earth and there'll be a whole new world and we'll rule and reign with Christ. But it's all good.
Is that the greatest gift ever?
The greatest gift ever.
The promise of eternal life?
It is. And the older you get, the more you appreciate the eternal life part.
That's right.
You know, now when you're younger, you appreciate the abundant life and a life with meaning. And that's all true. There's not just life after death. There's life during life. Life will be fuller and more meaningful, and you won't need to go after drugs or booze or all that junk you've wasted your life on anymore. Now you have Christ living in you. But as you get older, that eternal life part starts resonating even more.
My dad referred to it as a pearl of great price.
Yes.
The older you get, the more the pearl shines.
Yes, that's true.
You know, when you're younger, you're thinking about other things.
Yeah.
But when you're beginning to look over to the other side,
yes,
there is nothing like knowing that you're going to live someplace in eternity.
Yes.
And that someplace is called heaven. There's also a hell.
Yes, there is.
You talk about that. You're not afraid of that word,
no,
are you?
No, we can't be, because if we shy away from it, we're not giving the whole counsel of God. Hell is just as real as heaven is. Hell is just as eternal as heaven is. And Jesus spoke more about hell than all the other preachers of the Bible put together. And that's because he doesn't want any man or woman uniquely created in his image to spend eternity separated from him in this horrible place. That is why Jesus took such drastic measures to save us by dying on the cross so we wouldn't have to go to hell. And if anyone ends up in hell, they have to practically climb over Jesus to get there, because he does everything he can to stop us, but ultimately, it's our choice.
Mm. Greg, I love you like a brother.
Thank you. I've
enjoyed talking to you today, and you, speaking to the listeners, can get a copy of this book, Tell Someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you have accepted Christ and you're apathetic about mm-hmm. your relationship with him, the best thing to do is to start sharing it.
Yeah.
And this book will tell you how to do that. Thank you,
thank you,
Greg, for inviting me here.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 says, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." As Jesus has called us, Pastor Greg Laurie shines as a true inspiration that we all can share the good news with everyone. All we need to do is tell someone. You've been listening to Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, who shared a powerful conversation today with Pastor Greg Laurie. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you missed any part of today's conversation, or if you'd like to go back and listen to part one, which aired on yesterday's broadcast, you can hear the full conversation on our website, drjamesdobson.org. You know, something else I'd like to add about Pastor Greg Laurie, besides being a strong preacher, a faithful leader, and a powerful social media influencer, he also has a huge heart for evangelism. He likes to say that that is job one for him. Dr. Dobson has said the same thing, and I quote, "All that matters at the end of your life is who you loved, who loves you, and who you brought to Christ." Well, I think that both of these godly men were influenced by the greatest evangelist of the 20th century, the late Reverend Billy Graham. Let you and I see what we can do in our own lives, outside the walls of our own homes, to spread the good news as well. Now, as you probably know, Family Talk is a listener-supported broadcast, so please consider how you can support the work of our ministry here and the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Your financial contributions and your prayers help us to share God's word all over the world. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us. You can make a contribution over the phone at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Thanks again for your prayers and your faithful financial support. And thanks for joining us today on our flagship radio program, Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love. I'm Roger Marsh. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.